phones are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, I'm Pastor Jerome Ryan, the founder and CEO of the Love Center. We've been serving the region for over 30 years, helping families rebuild their lives. We're expanding our services. The Workforce Discipleship Center providing housing for the working class homeless. Yes, repeat, for the working class homeless, for single men and single women. We are offering financial literacy and strategies along with spiritual discipleship. For more information, please call the Workforce Discipleship Office at 772-207-6925. Again, 772-207-6925. Our staff is waiting to assist you or someone you know.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Hi, everyone. My mic was a little far away, but I have a big mouth, so really probably wouldn't have made a difference. Hi, everyone. This is Kingdom Recovery. Welcome back. We're happy you're here to listen and learn and be inspired by the Word of God. My name is Luann Linekin, and I'm with
James Wrench.
James Wrench, and we are going to talk about love today. I'm excited. This is step 12, and it's a long, I guess, chapter of love, you know, process of learning about love, experiencing love, and giving love. That's what we're going to be teaching and talking about through our own experiences, through other people's experiences, because we get to witness people get the revelation of the Father's love and then get transformed completely, you know, because that's the big mystery of what we've been doing our whole lives is seeking love in all the wrong places. And when we finally receive God's revelation of God is love and what love looks like, what love feels like, what love sounds like, what love looks, you know, acts like, that's life-changing. And it all starts with God giving us his one and only son to love Amen. Us, right? And to die for us, praise the Lord. So we ended last week, we were ending. We have a couple of more things to talk about with step 11, which is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. And one of the reasons why that is a very important step, it's probably one of the most important steps out of all of them, because it brings a deeper intimacy, a deeper experience, a daily intimacy and daily experience with God as we seek him daily. Because it says, you know, give us our daily bread, and it's about being in his presence, a step 11, which in the past, before I knew Christ, before I knew who Jesus was, I mean, I had an understanding of my own traditional belief of Jesus, but I didn't have a personal belief of Jesus. And until then, I took that step as a step to, you know, explore different types of religions and, you know, meditations and ways to, you know, have a higher contact with, I don't even know what I was, you know, it was looking for peace and all the things that only Jesus can give us, the Holy Spirit, here on earth today. But that's what I thought it was. So to me, it was like the break step. Oh, it's okay. I can, you know, take a break from always looking at myself, basically, which is not even what the other steps are about. I mean, it is about understanding that you're no longer that old person and that you're a new creation. But if you don't know that from the steps 1, 2, and 3, it it's going to be by works. That's what it was for me. So hopefully in listening to this, in Kingdom Recovery and how the steps and the word really inspired the steps and how the word, if put as the foundation of the principles and the steps of 12-step programs, it's eternal. It's beyond the pages of the big book. It's beyond any therapy session that you can have, you know? And that's what I found it to be. Because when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your heart and you allow him to teach you, lead you, and guide you, there are things that no human power can relieve you of or teach you of. Only he can. And they're spiritual. And it's living in a God-conscious way. So step 11 is so, so, so important because it's personal. It's about developing your spiritual maturity with God. And unless we get there with God, we could do step 12, which is service and charity. But if I don't understand charity from God, what he's done and what he's filled me with, then it's going to be complicated or difficult or conditional in my giving. So I wanted to end with through walking the prior steps 1 through 10 and prayer and meditation in step 11, we should be consistent in our walk with God daily. In order to maintain a relationship, we need to be in his presence. I mean, for me, it's important. And it doesn't always mean like in a ritual sense. It's okay. It's any time of the day. God conscious is all the time, you know. It doesn't mean like, oh my God, I didn't pray when I pray every day at this time. No, it's not about condemnation. You know, it's about when you get the thought, I didn't, you know, it's just a gentle reminder from the one who loves you the most. No one can ever love you more than God. The one who loves you the most says, hey, I want to spend a little time with you. That's all. Just maybe we have to stop what we're doing and shut the door and spend that time with him. So in order to maintain a relationship, we need to continually live in Christ, the word, keeping his commandments. And that's his code of conduct. And that's what step 12 is about. It's about living the code of conduct, the principles that we received in these steps, in the process of following, being obedient to how God called people in 12-step programs to see him. He knows how to speak to each and every one of us. So, or in eating disorder, or in codependency, or in, you know, whatever it is that you have, gambling. We all have something. You know, it could be just anger. It could be unforgiveness. It could be doubt. Those things are what keep us from the presence of his glorious light, because the enemy wants to keep us in darkness. Even when I'm going on a little tangent here. Sorry. I got so much information in my mind because I was with the Lord talking about it. I'm like, oh, that's so good. And now he's bringing it all, making it all make sense. So he was showing me or teaching me about, you know, when we receive the Holy Spirit, he comes to indwell us, which means to live in us. But the infilling is to build in us. So if we can have him dwelling in us and be born again, but not if we don't let him build in us, make us love, make us patient, make us, create in us who God is, you know, then we will go and continue to believe lies and respond in lies and not be who God called us to be, the old man identity. So that's why our soul be renewed in the mind is so important. And that's why listening to information like this and you know, talks like this is so important, especially when they're spirit-led and spirit-filled, because we want to fill people with his spirit, you know, and his information. So with that, if we choose not to live in Christ, there is a consequence called backsliding. And it can start very simply like, oh, you know, someone was sharing with me something. They said, oh, yeah, when I miss one, it gets easy to miss another one. You know, whether it's, you know, a meeting or, you know, something that they made a commitment to do. It's easy to, like, if you did make a commitment, it's easy to say, oh, I'll do it later. I'll do it, you know, another time. So we want to try to keep our commitments, keep our promises, be a man of our word. A human of our word. I have to say it like that in these days. A human of our word, because let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's what God says. It's okay if you say no. He just wants your yes to be yes and your no to be no. We have to be honorable in what we say and promise. So is a consequence called backsliding, being cast out of love, peace, and joy. It's not God casting us out. It's us casting ourselves out because we're refusing to walk with the Spirit towards love, towards peace. There's never-ending love, never-ending peace, never-ending joy. We got to keep going. You can't say, oh, I got enough, I'll stop here, because then it gets further and further and further and further away. Even in our yielding, there's progression. God's always moving. He's always working. So it's called, we get cast out because we're casting ourselves out of love, peace, and joy in our lives and back into the world's hands. We place ourselves back into the world's messages and the enemy's pain, misery, suffering. His plan is to keep us from peace, joy in the Holy Ghost, right? Love and joy in the Holy Ghost. So, and it's spiritual death. So it is a choice to continue to grow through relationship, intimacy, prayer, meditation with God by His will, His word for us, and to live in Christ so we may find the power, the Holy Spirit, the only one and only power, the Holy Spirit power, love, peace, and joy, to carry that out to other people. So if I'm casting myself out of it, then I don't have what I need to cast into people, to help carry to people. Right? I always say God forgave so that we can give. Forgive. So He did it for our giving. He forgave. He taught us what that looks like. So we are supplied with everything we need to do service. If we're frustrated, if we're annoyed, if we're impatient, if we're, you know, doing it for our own glory, to get the best likes and the most likes and all the followers, then we have to check ourselves, our heart. All right, so we need to shut the door. Your Father wants to talk with you inside so that He can express Himself outside of you, the noise. He wants you to shut the noise out so that you can hear Him and only Him. All right, it's private time, intimacy with God. Into me you see. Matthew 6:5-6 says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. He's in the innermost place of your spirit, your inner man. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So I'm going to close the 11th step with the prayer of 12-step programs. And it's a beautiful prayer. So I want to share it with everyone. And if you want this prayer, you can always text me or call the station. I mean, you could text me or call the station. My number is 631-745-7980. And the radio station is 772-221-1100, and you can always ask for my information, and I can give you the 11-step prayer. It's, Lord, make me a channel of Thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love, that where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness, that where there is discord, I may bring harmony, that where there is error, I may bring truth, that where there is doubt, I may bring faith, that where there is despair, I may bring hope, that where there are shadows, I may bring light. That where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds. It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. That is a beautiful prayer, and it explains God's love, basically, you know, which we will be talking about today. And I just want to say some little things. God always gives me these little, like, I don't know, categories or slogans or verses, this. And he said to my heart, know the difference is Jesus. Make the difference with the Holy Spirit. Be, which means live the difference in Father God. Be his image, right? Living in the fullness of God produces the fruit, the harvest of God. All his fruit, his love, okay? So, and with that, I want to start with step 12, which is having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. We try to carry this message to other alcoholics or people who are still sick and suffering in their, I'll say in their soul, in their thinking, or even if they seem to have, if they're not saved, no matter how good life looks, there's sick and suffering inside because they're not saved. There's no eternal life in them. It's they, even though the world will dress them up to look good, have everything they need, there's still a longing. We all have that longing, that hole, God hole in our heart. And until we fill it with the Holy Spirit, we're lost. That's why we must be born again. So we try to carry this message to other people who do not have it, the message of love, God, Jesus Christ. The hope of glory lives in you. And practice these principles, which are the code of conduct, and AA acquired them from the Bible. That's where they got their principles from God himself. He actually imparted them, or divinely inspired Bill W. and Dr. Bob and the first 100. It was, they didn't have the big books. They had the Bible. And that's what they were basing their foundation on. And I'm sure there were other things that, you know, they may have read that were, no matter what it was all, if it's good, it's God. It was God inspired. So even if it was other literature that lined up with biblical principles, they used it. So principles in all our affairs. So what does this mean to us? I wrote some notes here just to, as an intro. Spiritual awakening to carry the message of love. Do service of love. This is what God's calling us to do. And principles are code of conduct. So we learn the code of conduct. We learn the code of conduct of the kingdom of God through these principles. This is the same principles of the kingdom of God. God says if we live according to his will, his plan, his purpose, all these things will be added to us. That we will have a life of, even though there's circumstances and situations that can cause turmoil, we can find his peace in us, his joy, his goodness. He turns beauty out of ashes. Out of ashes, he turns it into beauty. We can find that in the most darkest places. The light is inside of us. Hallelujah. Right? Sometimes I say to myself, you know, we watch some, you see people's stories. They write stories like when they were arrested because they were selling Bibles, or, you know, they come out with these movies now. And they inspire me. They touch my heart so deeply that when I'm thinking about the what if it ever happened in my life where I had to make a decision, like where did they find that hope and that inspiration to carry on when it looks so hopeless, you know? And it's through a relationship. Like the more closer I get, like the story about the man who was beat all the time, and the guard.
Dimitri Dunes.
Yes, Dimitri Dunes. And it's a movie. If you want that information, you can call us too.
Oh, that's the other guy, Richard Rembrandt.
Okay, Rembrandt.
Who was with,
yeah,
Dimitri Dunes.
I mean, they were together, actually, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's amazing. They were actually doing the same thing, and they both tell the story. Yeah. So when you're watching the movie, you know the other guy's story too. It's pretty incredible.
Tortured for Christ.
Okay, and the guard just continuously beats him every time he prays, right? Yeah. Every time they stop and pray and break bread, they save their bread to have communion. I mean, it's incredible. These men are left.
They tie him up, their wrists and their ankles up on a bar upside down, where they're hanging like onto like a chin-up bar with their feet, and they just beat their feet, and they break their feet all to pieces.
Yeah, and this goes on for a long period of time,
14 years.
Years.
For Richard.
For this, the one that the movie's about. And he keeps praying, and the guy finally says, the guard, like, you know the consequence of this action. Go ahead, James. Oh, yeah. Good. He's excited.
They had killed this child in front of him, 11-year-old boy, beaten to death, which really, really devastated him. But they came in and he was praying. And the guard is like, what the? Could you be praying for? You have nothing. Your child's dead. And I think his wife was.
You get beat every time, yeah.
What in the world could you be praying for? He said, I was praying for you. Yeah. And he narrates the story and he says, I never quit loving him. He just didn't know.
Amen. Amen. So, and that's it. It's like, love your enemies. And it's the truth. And I think about, those are inspiring to me. You know, and that's a testimony. That's why testimonies are important, because he shared his testimony, and it was in a movie. I'd never met the man, but I read his books, and I watched the movie. So his testimony inspires my heart to stop and meditate on that, and say, you know, that's if he can do that, then it's possible, you know.
He's a very humble guy, and I just, real quick, a pastor was telling a story. He was teaching on humility. He said the most humble guy I ever met was Richard Rembrandt, because he came over here and ministered after he was free from that and stuff. And they said he was just very humble, didn't speak much, and he took him out to a restaurant where it's like a high-powered restaurant. Everybody's in their suits making business deals. And when they brought the food, he stood up and started banging a spoon on the glass until everybody in the restaurant stopped and is staring at him. And then he prayed over the meal, and he yells, you can take the prayer out of schools, but you can't take the prayer out of the meals. And it's like, he's like, he was so quiet and everything, but he's like, he didn't have fear of man. He wasn't worried about what they thought. He was actually humble, because fear of man can look like humility, but it's fear, you know.
That's good. So what is the result? That's the result of these steps, and that's the one result: to have access to God's presence, his love, his direction, and his character. And only through being born again and having the Holy Spirit not only live in you, which is very important to be born again, but the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is so important, because it gives Jesus the Lord position in your heart when we let the Holy Spirit fill us with God's principles, God's will, His word. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to have His way with us, so that we are in the image and likeness of what God's children, what our daddy looks like, what our daddy sounds like, how our daddy feels, what our daddy sees, because he's teaching us. So, and that's what this whole step is about. It's about what we've learned and what we're learning daily through the Holy Spirit in the presence of God. When the Holy Spirit gives us scripture, you're in God's presence. When someone says something from the church, the body, and it lines up with scripture, and it reminds you of a conversation you have with God, that's God's presence. God is present all the time. But we need to know Him to know that. Okay, and so, and the message is the message of love, and the principles are the code of conduct, and I also wrote that God doesn't need anything from us, but He needs us to give everything to others. You know, He doesn't need our money, He doesn't need anything. They're supplied to us. He already has more than... He can give us more than we can even ask for. But everything we have is for giving, basically. It's all for the purpose of when He tells us to release, we release it. Hallelujah. So love covers all things. That's why God is love. He is important. If we know love, we know God. If we know God, we should know love. How to love unconditionally, not manly love, not lustly love, not conditional love. There are those kind of loves, and not all the time are they represent bad. Lustful love does. I'm talking about conditional. You know, sometimes you need to put a condition because we love, like, don't put your hand on the fire, you'll get burned. But it's out of a love. But I'm talking about, you know, this is all parts of God that we're talking about. So love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And that's in 1 Corinthians 13, 7, through 8. You can read first, which we probably will in later parts of this teaching. But 1 Corinthians 13 is God's love letter, and it teaches us who love is. I'm not even going to say what love is, but who love is, because he's
and
a person.
And the importance of love.
And the importance of love.
It tells you all these things you can do for God and have all these gifts, move mountains,
and still,
all knowledge, more than anyone in the world, and more revelation and prophecy. And yet, if you don't have love, it profits you nothing.
That's right.
You can get everything away to be burned. You could go to a foreign country and just walk away from everything in America, and they tie you to a stake, deny God, and you don't deny God, they burn you to death, and then you stand before the Lord, and he says, you had not love, it profits you nothing.
Amen. Amen.
So that's pretty important.
Yeah, love. I believe that's the question when you get to face to face.
Did you learn to love? That's what he asked Bob Jones when he died in 73.
Well, how did you love? Because I always think of it this way, James, okay? And this is for everybody. I'm looking at James when I'm talking to him, but I'm talking to everybody. So whoever you are, this is the way I think about it. God says 1,000 years is one day in heaven. So if you think about, if we live 100 years, what is that? 10 minutes. So what did you do in your 10 minutes? How did you express God's love to others? I think about that, it's not a lot of time, right? Even if we live to 100, it's not a lot of time compared to eternity. You know, so, okay, can I tolerate this person? Can I tolerate this situation? You know, because we think of it as, oh my God, it's forever. But it's really a little drop in, or a piece of sand on the beach. Go ahead, you want to say?
I have a friend that he's, you know, you get to know people, and I always got that critical listening ear, like when they, you know, this guy's just never missed the Lord in 30 years. When he says, when I heard him say, and he was on the beach, they were having a bonfire for church, and the Lord told him, bend down and pick up some sand. He said, now get to one grain of sand. He said, see that piece of sand? He said, yeah. He said, now look at all the sand on the beaches. He said, imagine all the sand on all the beaches in the world, underneath the water, on the beaches. He said, that grain of sand compared to that is your life here.
I believe that.
To eternity.
Amen. Oh, yeah. You see, I didn't even know that. See, I those are the things I think about. Yeah. That's just confirmation. Okay. So step 11 is about spirituality, maturity in God, developing our private time with God, our God consciousness throughout the day, not only in that moment of private time, but throughout the day, just knowing he's always forever present with us. And then step 12 is service, charity, which is love. You know, it's another word for love. So how do we serve our Lord? How do we serve others representing our Lord? You know, and just as Jesus did. So a 12-step call, there's something called a 12-step call. I'm just sharing with listeners and you. So when they say, oh, I'm going to go do a 12-step call, that's actually going to somebody who is in, like, they're at the bottom. They're calling out for help. They need help. They're drunk or they're using or, you know, for battered people, it's like, you know, they're in there. They need a safe place. You know, this is the moment where we go and we try to help somebody. You know, and it's a very key moment, because in order to do effective service, love service, not only do we share our testimony, not right away, we listen. We have to hear what the problem is, basically. Like, listen to what the person is saying. Be attentive to that person. Listen to what they're saying. Are they seeking God? Are they blaming God? Those are good, even though it's not true. They're good signs that there's an opening to pour into their life, into their heart, God. Even if they're blaming God, it's a good time. Like, this is always happening to me, you know, God. Even if they're cursing out God, it's okay. You know, when you know God, you know it's okay. Because, he look how many times they cursed Jesus out in front of him. It's just like, whatever. You know, it didn't stop him. And he didn't get offended. He just tried to tell them that there was a better way to live, and this is what we are to do. So service, yes.
Now, I just want to say, when non-believers curse God, it is not.
Right.
They don't know. It's different, like, if me or you do it.
Correct.
So, because that happened to my brother, and he ended up getting dramatically healed of a broken back and changed his life instantly, like shortly after that. And I was afraid God was mad at him. And since that day, I focus in on people that start like GDing a lot, like excessively, because the enemy will stir the person up that God's wanting to touch to offend the Christian, because the spirits see the glow on you. And I've seen a lot of things just honing in on someone I wouldn't even bother really talking to that was in a group. When I hear it going and going, I'm like, okay, I just start talking to that person, and I've seen some neat things happen.
Amen. And even if somebody claims, and they could be born again, but they're not being infilled by the Holy Spirit, you know, they're just in that place where, okay, they gave their, you know, most 90% of the time they may just say that prayer but not really believe in their heart. So kind of just to redo it with someone and get them to the place where they really believe what they're saying, not just saying it just because of selfish, self-centered reasons, because that's not a reason to say the prayer. So sometimes people are being deceived because they've been in a bad place and they said, oh, I'll do anything, and then they go and do their own thing afterwards, you know, and that's not, you know, necessarily, I'm not going to say all the time, but sometimes they're not, they really didn't have that born again experience.
Yeah, and I usually, what I do, and I just did it with a woman that was healed a week ago, I just explain, you know, if I get to that, usually after someone's healed is when most people see the light of the Lord, I get more nerve asking to pray for them. Not good at just approaching with the gospel, but I'll explain, do you know that Jesus died for your sins? You know he rose the third day? Well, I say, you may have already prayed this, but the Bible says, and I like to just pray it again, and even if you already prayed it, I'd just like to pray it with you. Because that's how I got filled with the Spirit. The guy wasn't even, and I just didn't even know what was happening. I started shaking, and instantly, 1989, I didn't drink any since then. I quit sleeping my girlfriend. I mean, God, I definitely got filled with the Spirit. Amen. And it's when he told me to pray, and God started healing people.
Amen. Because I would have told you that I, you know, when I got sober, I did have a little bit of a change because I stopped doing some of the stuff, but I didn't have a transformation. Mm-hmm. I would have told you, yeah, I know God. I have a higher power. He's my God. God's my higher power. I would say all that.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like what you're saying. Sometimes I just say, well, let's do this together. You know, repeat after me, or, you know, are you ready to, you know, rededicate yourself? You know, things like that, because sometimes people need to do that.
And when I say the prayer, I always have it in the prayer. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I receive you as Lord. Yeah. I surrender to you. Yeah. Something like that. I'll usually just so they understand what they're doing.
Amen. Amen. So, our life is not our own. And that's usually, you know, we tell our testimony about how we came to Christ, basically.
I think I just have the feeling to just pray right now. So if anyone listening that hasn't prayed and asked, Romans 10:9-10 says that if you believe the Lord died for your sins and that he rose the third day, and that you confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved. With the heart man believes unto salvation, and with his with his mouth a confession is made unto salvation. So I'd just like to lead in a prayer. Yes, anyone please listening, this could be their day. So just repeat after me if you'd like to ask the Lord into your heart. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know you died for my sins.
I know you died for my sins.
And I know you rose the third day.
And I know you rose the third day.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
And be Lord of my life.
And be Lord of my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And Holy Spirit, have your way.
Yeah, Father, fill him with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name.
Fill. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's start by talking about love. This is going to be, you know, God is love. The message we have is for the hopeless, the ones that are still victims of life, of circumstances. This is the message that we carry to those people. And those people are sometimes right sitting next to us at church, you know, so we need to be love wherever we go. So having had the ability to receive God's care, this is what we people with love, we have the ability to receive God's care, will, plan, purpose, code of conduct, the ability to live out God's word, God's will, his purpose, his plan for our lives first. We are able to give it to others. That same code of conduct. The kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of God is like, Jesus said. That's what his message was. It wasn't him. He wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about the whole kingdom is like. And we get to talk like that to others and invite them into the banquet in the kingdom. But sometimes people are too busy, you know, and we're like, oh, no, nah, I know him already. I don't need to, you know, we need to stop, take a minute, and say yes to God. And the problem is, I know it has been for me in the past, but today I get excited with expectation, you know, is what do I need to adjust in my life by saying yes? That's the big problem. Because there's always an adjustment when we're participating and joining God's work. There has to be. Because usually my plans are not his plans. My thoughts are not his thoughts. So once I say yes, he's going to try to, you know, sit with me and give me the directions and all that stuff to be able to do the work of the Father, the Lord, what he wants for his people, for my life, for people around me. Everywhere we go, there's an assignment if we seek him. That's why I seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, and these things will be added is so important, because God, Jesus told us that.
He didn't want us focusing on the things. He'll take care of them if we focus on him.
That's right.
But we're seeking the things. It's a problem.
So the message is we have directions to life, code of conduct, spiritual principles that can be applied in all our affairs. So yeah, we deal with that big sin problem, whether it's alcohol or gambling or lying or cheating or infidelity, whatever that big one is. But now God wants to be Lord of all of it. Our bank accounts, our workforce, our children, our marriages, it's one marriage, one person. I'm talking about all of you people, because I'm married to him. But the marriage, parenting, all of it, everything, friendships, you know, just even the affairs of standing in line at Walmart, that's part of your life, and who's around you, and where is God working? Do you look for him? You'll see someone in need. You'll hear someone in need if you're God conscious, paying attention.
Amen.
Amen. So it's always more of a blessing to give than to receive. And I know my whole life I thought it was me, 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 gimme, gimme, gimme first, and then I'll do. You know, it was the backwards way. Mm. Or once I got it, then it was because I did a good job, you know, and it has nothing to do with that. It's everything that I have is to do his work, his will. So, and he multiplies it. He really does.
Yeah, pride and accomplishments is a very dangerous place to live.
Amen. Yes, it is.
It's only by the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And if you were Amen. Smart enough to do so, it's only God's grace that gave you the wisdom. And there's a lot of smart Amen. People that are
suffering.
Broke.
They're suffering. Because it's not the wisdom of the world. It's not, and it's not even all the information I know about the Bible. It's about being taught by the Holy Spirit, being transformed, and having God's revelation inside your heart. Not my revelation when I read and, you know, like, oh, you know, it's really sitting with the Lord, like, and letting the Holy Spirit teach you even deeper than what is being, what you're reading. And then you just sit, you meditate, and you might need that one scripture. Like I was sharing with you, God gave me a scripture for like a month now, and he's just been growing fruit. You know, it started as a seed, and now it's really, I see it everywhere I go. You know, it's alive. Praise the Lord. So love and compassion for others. We can't give love and compassion if we don't even know love and compassion. We have to know that we have it first. See, God forgave, God loved first, God forgave first. So I, wherever I go, I have everything I need from God. Nobody can give me anything more than God can give me. And when I truly believe that, when that revelation came, when that God revelation came, it freed me from people, places, and things having such a need. To be needed or to have something that they have. You know, it takes the chains off of those things. And then we can actually go someplace. Like when I go places, it's to be a deliverer of something for God. You know, it's like, okay, God, what am I supposed to deliver here? What do you want me to do? And sometimes it's just a hello, a phone call.
Or listening.
Right. You know, praise God. Which reminds me, I have to call someone that I haven't spoken to in a while. She's been on my heart. So, see, those little things, those are little tugs and, you know, reminders. Hallelujah.
Yeah, stopping for the one in front of you. When you're talking about that, I was thinking, because these people came by my shop, and then we decided to go eat. I'm like, well, I can go quick. It's this morning, and I ran over the shop next door to drop something off. I ended up in there praying for a guy in there, and I was really late getting to breakfast.
Amen. It's okay. Yeah. Right? You were on time. They just didn't know it.
Yeah, it's just, I thought of that when you were talking about a few minutes ago what you said about.
Amen. Being in line and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. So love your God with all your heart, soul, strength, your heart, your spirit, soul, and body, right? And love your neighbor, love your enemies as yourself. And in Matthew 20, this is, you know, it's God wants us to love him, love our neighbors, love the people we like, and then love the people we don't like, just as we are supposed to love ourselves. We're a reflection of love. If I don't love myself, it starts with me and God. If I don't believe he loves me, then how can I love myself? Because then I'm going to think I'm better than him if I can't love myself, right? So I've just put myself in the I'm God chair in my heart. And that's not where I need to be. So we have to check ourselves, do that inner check, that 10th step, right? Where we do an inventory, check my motives, check my heart. Is it because there's something in me that I don't believe about myself and who I am in Christ? Am I worthy? Am I, you know, we're all not worthy in that way, but we're all worthy because he made us worthy of his love, of his forgiveness, of his presence.
It made us worthy when we get saved.
And when we get saved, exactly.
And it's righteous.
Hallelujah.
Romans 5, if anybody's questioning that.
Amen. Amen.
By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So we receive that very easy. I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. Uh-huh. And by one man's obedience, many were made righteous.
Hallelujah.
And people have a hard time with that because the enemy just wants you to feel unworthy.
Right.
Oh, I'm the dirty worm.
No,
you're made right, standing before God now.
Hallelujah.
That's how you come boldly before the throne. And that's where the prayers get answered, not crying.
You know,
once in a while, if you're in a desperate situation, he's answering me like when I'm crying out. But usually it's when you're just standing boldly.
And the word comes like this morning, I wasn't even thinking. It just came out of my mouth. Thank you for making a path for me. Because things seem to be like, you know, even though they seem chaotic, they're orderly. I don't know how to describe it, but everything's flowing. You know, one thing is falling into the next thing. And so this morning I was like, God, thank you for making such a clear path for me. You know, and that's scriptural. And I'm like, oh, you see how it happens? I'm always learning, even by my own mouth. Like, you know, like, I'm like, ooh, wow, what a great, you know, it's true. His word is true, you know. So for me, it's exciting because that's a revelation moment. Like, wow, his word is true. It just came out of me, that I needed to recognize that, you know. And it's a reminder. Hallelujah. So we need to love, and God teaches us throughout his whole Bible, love. He teaches love. So Matthew 22:39. I want to read it, and we're not even at that yet. This is just the. We might not even get to the first part of this.
That's fine.
It says, Matthew 22:39 says, and the second is, well, let me read this, 38. This is the first and great commandment. I'll read it, sorry. I'm going to go to 37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments, hang on the law and the prophets. Praise the Lord. So, and in Mark 12:31, let me go to that. It says, let me go back to the beginning. Jesus answered, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than that. Praise the Lord." And I know I have the enemy one, but I probably didn't write it down. But we're supposed to love our neighbors also. Right? So.
And then they tell who his neighbor is in scripture. Well, your neighbor's one right in front of you.
Yeah, everybody's your neighbor, right?
Yeah.
So whether it's your enemy or friend, foe or friend.
It says bless your enemies, and people are like, they cringe and say, "Oh Lord, I bless them," you know. But you imagine really if we really blessed them, yes, like we went and mowed their grass, yeah, or
amen, the cake, did an action of
we
love.
Brought them a cake, they might think we put something in it. But yeah. Some excellent.
You might want to give them a gift card.
Yeah. But imagine let them go if get all a cake the Christians started doing that tomorrow.
With a picture of a cake. You go get your own cake.
Imagine if all the Christians started doing that tomorrow. We'd have a revival in
amen,
a couple weeks.
Amen. So if anybody's listening and you're having a hard time with somebody, this is a good activity, expression of love. Maybe you need to, send a card, a little text, or a prayer. You say a prayer, or go get a gift card and send it.
Or mow the grass.
Or mow the grass, exactly. You
why
know.
Do you do that? Just so think about you.
Yeah. So step 12 is for those who receive God's revelation. To the one who knows God, His love, and receives God's love, His care, grace, mercy, forgiveness, experiences God daily. As we fill up in 11, we get to pour out in 12. And it's really important. So only by the Holy Spirit can we learn about God's spiritual principles. We can, you know, really only understand God's spiritual understanding and wisdom through the Holy Spirit. There's nothing, no person, place, or thing can give us, well, the only person is the Holy Spirit, but no human person, place, or thing on this earth can teach us the things of God. Only the Holy Spirit.
And if we're keeping the number one commandment, number one, because a lot of people flop them around, yeah, you know, mm-hmm, but and make number two number one, they mm-hmm love people, but if you keep number one, then your relationship strong enough with the Lord, then you can bless your enemies. Because if you don't have that, if you don't have connection with the Lord, you're not going to bless your enemies. I mean, why would you? But if you realize how pleasing it is to the one,
that's right,
who's gazing upon you,
amen,
the minute you open your eyes, when you lay down, mm-hmm, you know, the one, our love, you
who
know,
smiles when you say hello to somebody and just
yeah,
simple things,
then you will be able to bless your enemies.
Amen. Amen.
And it's still hard sometimes.
Right. So I wrote here, principles, not rules. We can keep principles a lot easier than rules. We break rules. So try to think, do the little switch, the turn, the direction in your brain. It's a principle, not a rule. When we hear rules, it's easier to say, "I don't want to do that rule." But a principle makes it more like, oh, it's a principle of my heart. It's something that I choose to, you know, follow through with.
I knew a guy, he would say, when someone would say, "Well, the Bible says don't do this or don't do that," and he would say, "Just do the do's and the don'ts take care of themselves."
Amen. That's right. You know, they do. They really do.
Get closer
so
to him.
Everything on earth has a set of directions, principles, divine laws, even gravity. And God's not going to change it.
Amen. And,
right? So we have to be God conscious. What is it? What is God's principles? What are His spiritual laws? What are His commandments? What are His promises? You know, because there's a condition on promises. There is. You know, it's like if you do this, this would happen. And He tells us because of love that if we don't do these certain things, that we're going to wind up living in darkness and curses. And it's not because He wants us to. It's because He's trying to prevent us from.
Yeah, it's like me, Luann, and Dave here, the producer, we're standing on top of a building. And I said, if you jump off this, you're going to die. And one of you jumps off and dies, and the other one's mad at me. Like, no, I just, that's just the law of gravity. They, you know, God set them laws of motion, and we can obey them and get the blessing or get the curse.
Exactly.
But we're just, they're set in motion. They're, you're not going to change God's word.
No, you're not. And you can't say, well, God's going to save me, you know, and get me. No, that's a gravity.
He understands why I'm mad at this,
you're just defying.
You don't know what they did to me. I'm like, no, he does know.
You're disobeying a spiritual law, you know, a divine law. Exactly.
Yeah, there's consequences to a lot of them, you know, they're written in there.
They are. That's why it's important. The more time you spend with him, the Holy Spirit reveals these things. And there's no condemnation, because some of the laws don't apply to me yet. As I grow with him, he reveals them. Like, okay, now it's time to learn about this. You know, now you're allowed to walk across the street alone. So you got to look both ways. He teaches me about the laws about crossing the street. As I mature, that's for everyone. As we mature, he reveals more of who he is and, you know, what his spiritual laws are.
Yeah, and my point in that was that a lot of the stuff that happens, it's not like God's angry or anything.
No, he's not.
Those emotions are just...
He just loves, right?
Said,
and
you know,
we can't defy him.
This, and
yeah,
he'll do that. I mean, he just says it over and over.
Amen. Amen. So, and we do have a vital message. God created us for his will, his purpose, his pleasure, his glory. Let the glory of God shine out of your lifestyle. That's the message we have. It's a vital message. It's a life-saving message. It's so important. There are so many people perishing. Dying, they're living in a spiritual death, right? So when we know someone like God, it's intimacy with God, to receive directions. When we're obedient with him, not only are we receiving them, because people can say, yeah, I know that, but they're not living that. You know, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but we can't just know what it says. We have to do what it says, you know? And identifying where he is at, where he's at work, and is willing to adjust their life to join God's work. That's what the 12th step is about. It's about that awakening. God is everywhere. Where are you right now, and how do you want to use me? What do I need to do? Right? Ability to give God, give love to everyone, no matter what's going on in our life, no matter, like James said, no matter how many people are waiting at the restaurant, no matter what's going on, it was going to cause him to be late. He stopped, and he said, okay, God, you're doing something here. I want to join you. That is the most important thing to do in our day, is to ask God where are you? How can I join you? Praise the Lord, right?
Yeah, it's like everywhere I go, I've been in such a hurry. I ended up 40 minutes in the bar store yesterday, but the guy got healed.
Amen!
I mean,
amen!
He's excited.
That's right.
I was talking about the Lord, but I'm like,
I mean, time stays still.
I know that's more important, so even though I'm in a hurry, I just lay it down.
That's right, because time stops. There is no time in God's...
I got to just say quickly, if I can, like in 2018 when I had cancer in my liver, and it might have been 2016 when I had my colon, I wasn't sure if I was going to live the way things were going, and I had been complaining about 6 months about not making any money, because I'm always got people calling, and I just get a lot of people call for deliverance prayer all day long, and when I was sent to the hospital, it was clear to me, and I believe the Lord made it clear, that the only thing that was going with me if I stand before the Lord in a few days or a few weeks, whatever, was going to be the
time
I gave to others.
Amen.
So you had to snap me out of that.
Amen. Amen. So where is God working first in my life? That's what we need to ask. He's all around us all the time. So we need to seek him. When we hear people, see what they're talking about. Are they seeking God? Are they seeking some kind of peace in their life? That they're seeking God if they talk about peace or anything like that. Finances, they're seeking God. Whatever it is. A way out of something. They're seeking God. They're seeking peace, freedom. God is all that. So are they repenting? Are they being convicted of things? Like, what, you know, like, oh, I got to stop doing this. That's seeking God. You know, are they asking questions about God? Are they talking about God? Are they blaming God for something? That's seeking God. So be alert about that. That's what 12-step work is. It's about, okay, where are you working in this person's life, in my life, God? and let me join you. Let me help you. Because God wants us to help. He needs our vessels. So we need to be God conscious. And next week, Pastor Tom will be here with us. And we'll do at the King's Table. I have no idea what Pastor Tom will be bring at the King's Table, to what he's going to serve, what God's going to have him serve. But I will be, with great expectation, willing and ready to listen and share with everyone that's listening also. James, do you have anything you want to say?
No, I think that's it.
Yeah, we're good. We're going to just pray for everybody.
Amen.
Yeah. So, Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for Kingdom Recovery, the opportunity to be able to speak to people and to share your love and your word with others. And I just pray that everyone listening today has ears to hear and eyes to see and just has an experience with you, Father God, that they know it's you in their life and in their heart, and that they become more God conscious, that you are always with them and you will never leave them or forsake them. And if anyone wants to reach out in Jesus' name to me, my number is 631-745-7980. You're listening to Kingdom Recovery. This is WCNO, and we're on Fridays at 5, and I agape you. Shalom, shalom. And we'll meet next week, same time. God bless.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of life. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Greetings, WCNO family. Our spring prayer and chair begins Monday, March 31st at 7 a.m. We look forward to these coming days to celebrate God's blessings and share His vision for this ministry. As always, we need your God-led support, your faithful generosity in Christ. Remember, it all begins Monday, March 31st.
Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton of Just a Voice Radio Ministry, broadcasting here on WCNO 89.9, Saturdays, 5 a.m. and p.m. Come on and join us. Hope to see you there.
Of you,
and the greatness of you,
Jesus, sweet.